The short message I have for you tonight is actually I want to talk to you about Hot Topic Night. I actually wanted to talk to you at least a week before Hot Topic, but my wife had our baby, and so I've been out for a week, so woohoo! But I want to talk to you about Hot Topic Night, and the reason why I do is, let me go ahead and do this. There was a statement a man said actually years ago, and it stuck with me. Actually all these years, and I want to share it with you. I believe it'll be a blessing to you, not because it's so profound, although I think it's profound, not because it's so awe-inspiring or such a great quote, but I really believe that if your heart gets a hold of this quote, it will really help you in your Christian walk. And the quote's simple. The quote is this. The quote was that he said, "I believe that the Bible is the blueprint by which every man should live their life by." One more time. I believe that the Bible is the blueprint that every man should live their life by. And hopefully today, I mean, especially since you come to the Rock Church and this is what we preach, hopefully today you have the same belief instilled in your life that, you know what, the Word of God, it really is the lamp to my feet. And it really is the light to my path. And you know what, if I'm going to make a decision in life, if I'm going to go somewhere, if I'm going to do something, I want to find out what the Word of God has to say about life. Because the Bible talks about every area of life. There'll never be a situation, there'll never be a circumstance, there'll never be anything that you go through that the Bible doesn't have something to say about. And so thank God today that you and I, we don't have to live based on our own opinion, our own wisdom, our own intellect, our own education, or how about this? Thank God today we don't have to live based on the way the world lives, what they believe, but we can base our life on the truth. And so I believe tonight that the Word of God has some things to say about Open Mic Night, so I'm going to talk about Open Mic Night. And I want to talk to you about Open Mic Night in the context of spiritual gifts. In the context of spiritual gifts. I believe that spiritual gifts should be present when we have Open Mic Night in the church. Amen. Now, if you want to go to the karaoke joint down the street, I'm not sure that spiritual gifts are going to be present there. They probably not. But you know, when we have an open mic night, we have a time for believers, fellow believers, to come up and give their poem, their spoken word. I believe that the presence of God should be present. I believe that the Spirit of God, I believe that God wants to do things and do great things in people's lives through the gifts and the talents that you have. So today, if you brought your Bibles, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's look at verse number 1. Today, I don't even have points for you. I have talking points. I kind of stole it because I watch the news from time to time, and the news anchors are like, today our talking points, we'll be discussing Cairo, Egypt. So I have talking points for you. We're going to put them all up there. This way I can hopefully shave off some time, and we can enjoy ourselves today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1, Paul talking here. He comes along and he says this. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren," he says, "I do not want you to be ignorant." One more time. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Now I want to really specify here what Paul says, because let me do it this way. Notice what Paul does not say. Paul does not come along and say, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, pastors," or concerning spiritual gifts, evangelists, or those of you who have a higher calling than the rest, which I don't even believe in, or those of you who feel called to work for a church. No, what does he say? He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," thank you, "my brothers, my sisters, my peoples, my peace, my homies, my Jews, my cats, my dogs, my brothers and my sisters in Christ, this is who I'm talking to. I do not want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts." So today you may say, you know, "Pastor Joe, I'm not a pastor, and Pastor Joe, I'm not going to even be up doing the mic night thing." But you know what? That doesn't mean that God does not want you ignorant about spiritual gifts. He wants you to know, understand, comprehend what the Word of God has to say about spiritual gifts. So my talking points really quick. The first one today, and we're going to put them up on the overhead screen so you can follow along, about spiritual gifts that I believe that you need to know regarding open mic night is this, that God has given giftings to each one of you. Thank you. Thank you. God has, you know what, everybody here under the sound of my voice, God has gifted you. God has given you talents. God's plan for your life is not just to get saved and then to live a nice life, come to church weekly, hear some songs, hear a message, and go home, take up a space on the pew or on the seat, and that's it. No, God has gifted your life, and God has talented each person under the sound of my voice for the purpose of building the kingdom of God and the purpose of edifying the body of Christ. Every person here today, you have a gift. You have a calling. And now it's your job and it's my job to find out what God has gifted me with, what God has talented me with, and then, as the Bible says in Timothy, give my attention to it. Find out what the word, and flourish and grow and cultivate my gift so that I can be everything that God's called me to be and do everything God's called me to do. Once again, Pastor Joe, I'm not doing anything in open mic, and I don't know that I ever will. But that doesn't mean that you don't have a calling. That doesn't mean that you don't have a gift, and you don't have a talent that God has given you to change the world around you, to change the world around you. The truth of the matter is you may be in here tonight and you may say, you know, Pastor Joe, every time I get around the Word of God and I spend time with God and I'm in prayer, I just get this overwhelming desire to be hospitable. My gift is hospitality. Some of you are staring at me like, but did you know that the Bible says that that's a gift? There's some people that are gifted with, does it mean that if you're not gifted that way that you don't have to be hospitable, because you need to be and you need to walk in love, and there's God has gifted all of us with certain things, but God has given you, so just because maybe you're not called to be a pastor or work for a church or stand in the pulpit or sing a song or do open mic night doesn't mean you're not gifted. You are gifted. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has a destiny to do great and mighty things with your life. You know, I think probably the best example of this is Stephen the Martyr. How many of you guys know who Stephen the Martyr was in the Bible? Do you know what he did? Okay. Stephen the Martyr, he was in Acts. You can read about him in Acts, and he was a part of the early church. All right, when after the disciples got filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter preached his first sermon, 3,000 people got saved. Don't you wish your first altar call, 3,000 people got saved? That's what I'm talking about. You know how many got saved in Pastor Joe's altar call? Guess. Somebody guess. Zero! People were falling asleep while I was preaching. It was actually in youth. But anyways, I think Angelina was there. Do you even remember that? See, that's how impactful it was. What? Oh, you were asleep? Oh. Whatever. No. Okay. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Stephen the Martyr. Stephen the Martyr. Stephen the Martyr, his life was, actually, he went before the Sanhedrin, and he was killed for his faith. And actually, his death strengthened the church, man. They got all the more bold. But how he made his living was he was a waiter. He was a waiter. That's all. He waited tables. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that he was full of the Holy Ghost, and the grace of God was upon him, and miracles took place. Okay, what can I get you to eat? Oh, I see you have a withered hand. Let's just grow it out right now. Amen. God has gifted each and every single person today. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Let me read it to you real quick. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. It says, but to each one of us, each one, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. That's pretty cool. Therefore, he says, or in other words, because of what I just said, God says, when Jesus ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. God has given you a gift. God has given you a talent, more than one. So your job now is to find out what that talent is. If you don't already know, cultivate it, grow it, and man, be a force for the kingdom of God. Second talking point today. We talked about God has given each and every one of us a gift. The second talking point today, and this is probably getting more specific to open mic night and spiritual gifts, is when we do have an open mic night, if you're not doing anything this time, maybe the next time you do it, is to bring an inspired gift. Bring an inspired gift. Pastor Joe, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, don't just come up here, grab the mic, and do your thing because you think your thing is so tight and so cool. Oh my God, I can't wait to get up there, because if Whitney Houston was still alive, I'd tear her up! I could sing this song way better. Mariah ain't got nothing on me, and I can't wait till everybody hears and sees what I'm going to do, because they're going to be blown away and be like, ah! Hopefully today, when you express your gift, or you use your gift or your talent, hopefully today you're not doing it because you want to show off. open mic night in the church should not be a time of show off, a time of show and tell. And you know, as long as Pastor Joe has anything to do with open mic night at church, it's going to be more. I'm going to challenge you to bring an inspired gift. Pastor Joe, what you're talking about? I'm going to challenge you to get before God and say, God, I got these talents. I got these gifts. How do you want me to use them? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to sing? Because there is more to life than just the song I sing and people clapping for me at the end and coming up to me after service and giving me a high five. I can't wait till you do that again. Can I have your autograph? You're going to be famous one day. No, you're not. No, you're not. No. If you, no, I'm sorry, I got a little carried away. If you are, praise God, hopefully you use it for the glory of God, but do not just bring a gift because, hey, this is cool and I think I do it real well and I'd like, no, bring an inspired gift, get before God and let your gift be a ministry to those who see and hear what you do. I'll give you an example. A few years ago when Pastor David Archibek was still here, he asked me, They decided to do the song Rain Down, which was co-written or written by T-Bone or something like that. But anyways, he asked me to do a rap to the song. And I was like, okay, I like rap. In fact, when I went to Bible college, every time me, Pastor Luke, and James took turns driving. Every time we got in their car, it was rock and roll. Every time I got in my car, it was hip-hop. You know it. No, and they actually kind of liked a few songs, and I ended up liking their songs, and me and Pastor Luke would do the death metal scream or whatever. Ah! I remember one time we were having a contest, and then we look over in the car next to us, there's these girls just staring at us like, I was like, hurry up and turn. But anyway, so he asked me to do this rap. Now, so I thought about it that day. I was like, cool, I get to do a rap. I'd never done a rap before. This is going to be really cool. And I thought about it all that day, and I came up with two sentences. That's all I could come with, two lines. And so finally, it was either that night or maybe the next day or that weekend, I went before God and said, God, I need help. I don't know what to write. I mean, I like rap. But anyways, you know what, God, and I didn't pray that prayer, and then just my hand just started writing. Okay. But God helped me. And I believe that every word of that rap, it meant something to me, it set my life free, and I believe that those who could understand me, that it ministered to them as well. And I remember the day I went out to do it, I'm standing in my spot getting ready, and I know my cue to run out there and do the rap. I'm shaking, my knees are shaking, and I'm holding the mic like this. And my cue comes, and so I run out there, and I'm thinking, oh my God. And you know what, but in that moment, the Holy Spirit came on me, and the next thing I know, I was like all gangster, like, that is not natural. But you know what? The Holy Spirit gave me, it was more than being gangster. I'm just making a funny joke. You know what it was? It was the passion of God. It was the fire of God. Like we sang about tonight, there's a fire burning deep. I can't hold back this fire. That's what the Holy Spirit came upon me. You know what? The Holy Spirit wants to do that in your lives as you bring your spoken word, as you bring your testimonies, as you bring your poems, as your songs. All right? So bring an inspired gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 12. If you'll go back there with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, real quick. Dang, I'm running out of time. I got to go fast. It says this in verse number 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." It says, "You know that you were Gentiles carried away." To these dumb idols, however you were led. In other words, you were just all over the place, all right? And then it says, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Now, this verse really specifies something else, but I just want you to, let's read this first half again. It says, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God." I hope today that when you come to Open Mic Night, it's more than a show off. But that you want to speak by the Spirit of God, like that rap. Lincoln Brewster had the same thing. How many of you guys know who Lincoln Brewster is? Lincoln Brewster, every time he plays on guitar, I get touched by God. Sometimes I find myself just crying. But Lincoln Brewster, he said, you know, he's a great guitar artist coming up, and he gets saved, starts working for a church, and he starts going to a church, playing praise and worship, and he says all of a sudden, you know, he just wants to go off on his guitar on this song. But he wouldn't do it because, you know, his church is very proper and he didn't know how they would handle it. There's quite a few elderly people, so he didn't do it. And so I don't remember the full story, but basically It came a point in time he wanted to do again, and he held himself back, and God was like, you need to play what I tell you to play. And so he finally let loose. And then he got done, and he got off the stage, and he thought to himself, I'm dead. They're going to kick me out of the church. This is going to be bad. People are going to hate me. He goes and sits down, and sure enough, he sits down, and he gets a tap on the shoulder. He looks over, and there's this elderly lady. He's like, I'm about to get blasted. And you know what she said to him? Boy, I sure like that guitar playing. It really ministered to me. You keep on doing it. You keep on doing it. You know what? He was led by. He brought an inspired gift. And then my last example is Antonio. How many of you were here last week? You remember Antonio's last point when he was like, I'm sorry, I'm just getting excited. He was being inspired. Sorry, my voice went out. I love Antonio. Don't worry, you'll get another chance to make fun of me. That was inspiration. That was the inspiration of God. All right, I'm going to try to hurry real fast. All right. These inspired gifts are the greatest kind of gifts, and it's called prophecy. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Oh, you're already there in verse number 12. Let's go to the very last verse, verse 31. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. Paul says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Some translations say the greater gifts. And then he says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And they go to verse 13, starts talking about love. It's like, Paul, you just told me to desire the best gifts, the greater gifts, and you didn't tell me what those gifts look like. Help me out. All right. So he talks about love, but then go now to chapter number 14. Because after he talks about love, he goes back to spiritual gifts. And watch what he says. Chapter 14, verse number 1. Chapter 14, verse, he says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. But notice what he says here, but especially that you may prophesy. But especially that you may prophesy. So all of a sudden he comes along and he says, you need to desire the best gifts. And then he doesn't tell you. He starts talking about love. Then he comes around in verse 14 and he says, so desire spiritual gifts, but especially, why? Because these are the greater ones. These are the better ones. But especially that you may prophesy. Pastor Joe, are you telling me that I'm supposed to desire to foretell the future? No. So take a deep breath. That is not what the Bible's talking about. There is a prophecy of foretelling the future, but that's not what this is referring to right here. Let's read on. One more time. Verse number 1. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. This is to all believers. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Verse number 3 is going to bring some light. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort unto men. This is what it means to prophesy, to speak exhortation, edification, and comfort to men. You're doing a poem, you're doing a song, you're doing a spoken, you're doing a dance, whatever you're doing, it speaks. So we're talking about bringing an inspired word, not just to show off, bringing an inspired gift, not just a show off gift, for the purpose of bringing edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Edify the body of Christ with your gift. This is the best kind of gift. Not one that you use for yourself or one that's a show-off gift, but a gift that ministers to others, all right? That's the point, all right? So this is the greatest kind of gift. It's called prophecy, which is exhortation. What is prophecy? Dang, A+, all right. So this is the best kind of gift when your gift is inspired by God and ministers to other people. Let me say this to you. How completely valueless and meaningless it is to get a return of just applause or pats on the back. Let me tell you what it's all about. When you bring an inspired gift, you get up here, and while you're doing your gift, while you're singing your song, you see tears coming down people's faces because God ministered to their life, and their life will never be the same because of your gift. That's some real value. That's some real worth. And then not only that, but let me just share this with you because I just love this so much. The Bible says you cannot give a cup of cold water in the name of God to a little child. In the name of God. In other words, to build the kingdom of God. You can't give a cup of cold water to a little child. I messed up the verse. It says that when you give a cup of cold water to one of these in my name, you will by no means lose your reward. Now think about that for a moment. Because if I give a cup of cold water to a child in to build the kingdom of God, you think, oh, that's so nice. You're so cool, Pastor Joe. How wonderful. But in the grand scheme of fixing the world's problems, I'm not going to win the Nobel Prize for giving somebody a cup of cold water. But God says, you do something that little in my name, you'll by no means lose your reward. I'm here to tell you, young adults, when you bring your gift and it edifies, you are storing up for yourself treasure in heaven. Where the Bible says, moth doesn't eat and thief cannot steal. Not only that, but everybody here knows when you and I cross over the finish line of life, we're going to give an account before God. It's going to determine where we spend our eternity. But then there's a second judgment. Did you know that? The great white throne judgment where you stand before Jesus, and then he's going to judge you once more based on your works, and that will determine how you get to spend eternity. So the first judgment, where you spend eternity. Second one, how you spend it. The Bible says that when you're judged, you can either receive a full reward, a partial reward, or no reward. And these judgments are forever. So you get to thank God you made it to heaven, but I hope today that you find out what your gift is. Use it for the edifying of the body, the building of the kingdom of God. Store for yourself treasure in heaven so that when you stand before Jesus Christ, hey, you get a full reward. Not a partial reward and not no reward for the rest of eternity, but a full reward which will not pass away. Amen? All right. Two more things super fast. Talking point number four today, love is the best way to minister to another. That's moving beyond gifts. The best way to minister to somebody else is just by loving them. Just love them. All right? Go back to chapter 12, look at verse number 31 with me. Chapter 12, verse 31, we already read this. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, it says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And it goes on to talk about love. In chapter 13 here, there were no chapters and verses in the original text. Those are added later so that you and I could follow on together. So literally, he's going right into this. But earnestly desire spiritual gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, what is he talking about? Having a gift. But have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Love is a better way. In fact, if you use your gift without love, you actually render your gift ineffective. Look what he just said. He just said, I got to say it one more time. If you use your gift and you don't have love, you will render the gift God has given you ineffective in people's lives. He says, if I have this gift of speaking of tongues of men, of angels, faith, and the list goes on, I become, watch what he becomes, a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Ever listen to somebody? Somebody had a great testimony, had great something to share, but because you knew their love walk was terrible, you were just kind of callous to it, just kind of like, whatever. And then he says, if I have this faith, I become nothing. So love is the best way to minister to another. Let me say this. Love is the result of a decision consummated by an action. And that action really should be doing for the other party, the other individual, what is the best thing that can be done for them at the moment. That's real love, all right? Last thing today, last talking point today about open mic night and under the context of spiritual gifts is don't just get an inspired gift, but do all that you do with the love of God, all right? So taking it a step higher, don't come up here with a gift to show off. Don't come up there only with a gift inspired by God. But when you get up here and you do and you express your gift, whatever it is, do so with love in your heart for the people that you are ministering to. All right, one more time, Ephesians chapter 4, the last verse for today. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. I went way longer than I wanted, but that's okay. God's word is good. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. It says, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, watch what it says, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. You got a gift. You need to supply the body of Christ. Joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. It causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So that's kind of those two verses, kind of sum up everything we've talked about today. If you got something good from God's word, go ahead and give him a great big praise.